from the Ohio News Network. This is the ONN Daily Podcast.
It is Friday, May 24th, 2024. For the Ohio News Network, I'm Kate Burdett. During a special news conference yesterday, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine called a special session of the Ohio legislature to solve the problem of getting President Joe Biden's name on the November ballot. More from ONN political reporter Doug Petcash.
The governor says getting Mr. Biden's name on the ballot is an easy legislative fix and called it unacceptable that the Ohio House has not already taken action.
Ohio is running out of time to get Joe Biden, the sitting president of the United States, on the ballot this fall. Failing to do so is simply not acceptable. This is a ridiculous, this is an absurd situation.
To be on the ballot, Biden's name has to be certified before Ohio's August 7th deadline. Biden won't be formally nominated until the Democratic National Convention held later in August. That special session will happen next Tuesday.
One day after a federal judge gave preliminary approval to a $600 million deal between Norfolk Southern Rail Company and East Palestine residents, yesterday the company agreed to pay more than $300 million in a settlement with the U.S. government for last year's train disaster. ONN's Lena Lai in Cleveland reports.
The deal announced by the U.S. EPA and the Department of Justice settles claims and costs from that toxic train derailment. The $310 million settlement includes past and future cleanup costs, a $15 million civil fine, medical and mental health monitoring services, ground, surface, and well water monitoring. Norfolk Southern is required to make safety improvements, including adding hundreds more heat detectors on key routes. The East Palestine derailment was blamed on an overheated wheel bearing.
The settlement means Norfolk Southern does not face criminal charges, nor does the company admit to any wrongdoing. Near the University of Akron campus on Wednesday morning, a man died after wind blew a tree onto the roof of his house. ONN's Lydia Aspara has the story.
Shocking Ring camera video captures the moment this tree fell on this home, the wind causing it to break. Shelby Fortune lives next door.
I was just sitting up in my room and the wind started picking up like a normal thunderstorm would.
The man who lived there was still inside. Fortune lives on Sumner. It's home to many University of Akron students. She says her neighbor wasn't a student. Akron Fire says the victim was 33 years old. They found his body on the upper floor, right where the tree had landed.
The victim has since been identified as Paul Matvey. Earlier this week, a pair of Toledo police officers used their training to convince a suicidal man to step away from the edge of the Veterans Glass City Skyway Bridge and seek some help. ONN's Amanda Fay has more.
Officer Ryan Spann and his partner intervened using de-escalation tactics, convincing that man to get in their cruiser for a ride to the hospital. It was a situation where Lieutenant Paul Davis says the best thing for officers to do is strike up a conversation.
So if we can slow the situation down and have the opportunity to at least try to engage with that person to have a peaceful resolution, we're going to try to do that.
Lieutenant Davis says the department is connecting officers to a 40-hour class the county health board is now offering to teach de-escalation tactics, with a goal of having every officer trained on it as soon as possible.
A police chase that cost a Dayton man his life is prompting calls for new legislation. ONN's Clay Gordon has details.
The Dayton NAACP is advocating for a bill called Colby's Law. It would impose harsher penalties for those that cause deadly police chases. The bill is named after Colby Ross, who lost his life in a deadly crash that resulted from a police chase. A task force would also be established to help set guidelines for suspects with prior criminal history and make interdepartmental communication more effective. Ohio Representative Phil Plummer, Republican from Dayton, is working on similar legislation that would seize the vehicle of those evading arrest and also require prison time.
Yesterday, charges were announced against a fourth former Columbus Zoo executive who's facing grand theft and five other felony counts. ONN's Kristen McFarland.
Tracy Murnane is facing charges after the zoo says he's responsible for around $13,000 in losses. The Ohio Attorney General's office says he was the former purchasing agent. Court documents show Murnane sold personal cars and sold services from his family's business to the zoo. He also is accused of using a zoo vendor barter system to book a party bus for a family member's wedding. Now, the Columbus Zoo gets tax money from Franklin County through a levy. That levy produces about $20 million from taxpayers to the zoo. The zoo says the investigation confirmed that public levy funds, which the zoo receives to care for its animals, were not misused.
This is a separate case following the indictment of three other former zoo officials, former CEO Tom Stolf, former Chief Financial Officer Greg Bell, and former Vice President of Marketing Pete Fingerhut are charged with stealing funds for a decade. The Cleveland Cavaliers are looking for a new head coach. Here's ONN's Jay Crawford.
J.B. Bickerstaff was fired following the team's second-round Eastern Conference playoff loss to the Boston Celtics. Cavs general manager Kobe Altman says, "We owe a ton of gratitude for everything J.B. has contributed to the Cavaliers and his engagement in the Cleveland community." J.B.'s tenure here will be remembered for two things. First, for guiding the reemergence of Cavalier basketball after taking over on an interim basis 5 years ago. And secondly, he'll be remembered for underachieving in each of the two postseasons.
And there's more tech development in Central Ohio, this time in the form of an AI data center. ONN's Tracy Townsend has more with Nathan Hazelwood, Chief Financial Officer of Cologix.
It's the first AI-ready data center in Central Ohio and the company's fourth overall. The center will work with others across the country to store information in the cloud.
It's allowing us to really expand our footprint in the market here. So we do value Columbus as one of the premier markets.
This is just the latest technological expansion into our state. Recent investments from Intel, Google, and Honda now have state leaders calling Ohio the Silicon Valley of the Midwest.
Thanks to our television affiliates, WBNS in Columbus, WKYC in Cleveland, and WTOL in Toledo, for their contributions to today's podcast. I'm Kate Burdett on the Ohio News Network.
This has been the ONN Daily Podcast, a production of Radio Ohio Incorporated on the Ohio News Network.